There are not many bugs that unnerve me, but there is at least one. That is cockroaches. Other than the fact that they live in the sewer system and that I didn't have much experience with them because my parents have well water and are on a septic tank when I was growing up, the way that I did have experiences with spiders and centipedes and even scorpions, I can't name why it is that I don't like cockroaches, why they creep me out. I just don't like them. Which made my first trip to Juarez, Mexico as a teenager all that much more interesting. Barely 14 years old, I was in Juarez with a group from my church. We were there to build a house for a local family, and we're staying in a church in a remote part of town. It was just outside of town. The first night we were there, we began to see cockroaches in small numbers. First in the bathroom, and then a couple by the sink as we prepared dinner. Just a few, and they were easily dealt with. No cause for concern as we began to get ready for bed. Everything was fine until I got up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. When I turned on my flashlight to find my way down the stairs, I discovered that there was almost a dozen cockroaches hanging out on the floor near my sleeping bag. Then, by the time that I got downstairs and shined my flashlight, it was almost as if the entire floor just moved. I was creeped out, grateful to be sleeping upstairs, and very happy to turn out the light once again. Once I was ensconced in my sleeping bag, eager to forget the reality of what lay just beyond me. Sort of like ostriches who bury their heads in the sand, sometimes darkness provides the cover we desire rather than forcing us to deal with the reality. This is something that the people of Jesus' time also took advantage of. In this morning's story from John, we hear about a Pharisee named Nicodemus, who the text tells us is a leader of the Jewish religious leaders, and he comes to Jesus in the cover of darkness. He comes not to shame Jesus with questions, as many Pharisees did before him, but rather it seems as he comes believing Jesus has come to tell him something, has come from God, and he wants to know more. Only to find that Jesus responds to him in metaphors that he cannot fully grasp before telling him, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and the people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. First, I think it's important to note that Jesus says that their deeds were evil, not the people themselves. But it's also clear that the people have made a mess of things and would rather turn off the lights and ignore everything that is wrong, just as I preferred to turn off my flashlight and pretend that there wasn't a sea of cockroaches just beyond my sleeping bag. The people loved darkness rather than light because in the light they could undoubtedly see their pain and suffering as much as they could see the pain and suffering that they had caused others. It's easier to retreat into the darkness and pretend that everything is okay, never letting the light show the mess we have made and know that we should deal with something that we may even find ourselves doing now. 2 days ago, a student was shot at Magruder High School near Gaithersburg. Escalating anxiety and fear among students, teachers, and parents as they locked down, wondering about their own safety or that of their loved ones. It's another school shooting that comes after years of multiple mass shootings, often in our schools. Almost exactly 8 years ago, I preached on this text the day after there was a mass shooting at a mall only miles from my house. A shooting that came on the heels of four other mass shootings around the country just that week, each causing anxiety, pain, and sorrow for many, including those who worried that I had been at the mall that day. And this morning, as I hear Jesus say again, "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light," I cannot help but think that we have for far too long retreated to the darkness, hoping to ignore the ways that the light may display our relationship to firearms in this country. It's much easier to ignore the hard work that needs to be done as we sort out how to best protect people while still honoring the right to bear arms. Just as it is easier to retreat into the darkness so that we don't have to see how our actions or our inaction has led to so many people, especially our children, dying at the end of a gun with real regularity. It's tempting to keep walking away from the light, to cast our eyes elsewhere and to ignore the mess that we know needs to be dealt with when thinking about any number of things, even our own trauma, our own grief, preferring to pretend that we are okay even when we're really not. Not only any past trauma that we may have, but also failing to acknowledge all of the loss, the anxiety, and the trauma of the past 2 years. Potentially ignoring the pain of saying goodbye and looking forward to a future where we are not together. The light has come into the world, and the people love darkness rather than light. The darkness itself isn't intrinsically evil, it just hides a lot. It's easier to pretend that something doesn't exist when we are where we cannot see. Yet, God sees. And we cannot hide from God even in the darkness. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God has come. God has come in order that the world may be saved, so that we may be saved. Saved from the ways that we push others away and cause pain. Saved from the snide comments and harsh rebukes when we are angry. Saved from the ways that our decision paralysis proves harmful to others. Saved from the racism that continues to harm all people, especially those who have long been disenfranchised and powerless. Saved from the violence that permeates our lives and the threats that cause us to feel like we need to protect ourselves. Saved from our own trauma and our own grief. God has come into the world to bring light to the darkness so that we can see and attend to what is evil, both in our world and in ourselves. Inspiring us to make amends for the brokenness that we have caused. But God does not leave us alone in our work, standing by as if an observer waiting for us to tidy up. But rather, this is a God who jumps in with their sleeves rolled up and mops buckets and towels at the ready. Because God knows what the light will show. Not only the mess, but also justice and mercy. And it is in the light that we are able to see that all people are already loved. Loved enough for God to enter into our world and our lives to show, and into our lives in order to show that this is what it means to be made whole. Loved enough for God to come even when we'd prefer to hide. Loved enough to go with us into the messiest parts of our lives, unafraid of the work that needs to be done. Loved enough to go into death, showing us that there is a way for new life to be born out of death. So this morning, and in the days ahead, remember that you are loved no matter where you may find yourself, in the darkness or in the light. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Because it simply cannot.